Bless you this morning. It's good that you're here. We had a wonderful first meeting. I'm glad that we have individuals joining us online, watching us, whether live now or maybe days or weeks or months, perhaps years from now. But I believe that what God has given me is as relevant at this moment as it will be a week or a month or a year from now. We've been talking about having to let things go so that we can grow. You know, that's been our theme for the last number of weeks. And today I want to talk to you about letting go of the darkness so you can grow in the light. In fact, I think the official title was Stepping into the Light. And the reason why we did that is that you don't want to focus on the darkness. You know, how many of us have been trying to manage the darkness in our lives, and how's that worked out for you? You get what I'm saying? In other words, yeah, we manage it, but it takes time and energy and effort, and it just sucks the life out of you trying to manage those dark areas. And God has not called you and I to manage darkness in our lives. God has called us to step into the light so that the darkness just dissolves. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today a little bit and encourage you in this area. You know, as I look at Scripture, light is everywhere. You know, it's in the first three verses of the Bible. At the very beginning, the Bible says that, you know, everything was void and empty and it was dark. And the first thing that God said was, let there be light. That was the very first thing that he said. And there was. So somehow the earth as we know it was a blob. There's water covering the earth, the Bible says, and it was dark and empty and void. And the first thing God says, let there be light. So I don't know how he lit the sun. I don't know whether he had a giant butane lighter. I got no idea of the science behind it, how he made nuclear fission happen all at once. But somehow he went poof, it lit. And then not only that, but when you look at the original Hebrew language, he brought it into focus. In other words, he brought the sun at the proper distance so that we didn't get burned up or too cold, just at the right distance with the right amount of light, the right amount of heat. Just amazing. And he does that right at the start. Here's what I believe God wants to do in our lives as well. When we first come to him as empty and void and darkness in our lives, because that's all that's in our lives before Jesus comes in, that as he comes, that he brings the light of life into our lives. And all of a sudden, the darkness in our lives begins to get dispelled. You see, there's no fight in heaven between light and darkness. When light comes in, darkness just has to go. And it's the same for you and I. Yet for you and I, there's a battle that goes on between the light and darkness in us. You know, when we invite Jesus in as our Lord and Savior, he's in the throne room of our heart, you know, down in here somewhere, you know, he's there. Yet, just like any house, there's all kinds of rooms, isn't there? You know, there's basements, there's attics, there's closets, you know, all these kind of dark areas that still haven't got the fullness of the light from that central area of our lives. And so I want to talk to you about that, about how we can bring light to every area of our lives. And in a sense, it's not so much us doing it, but letting God do it. But let's begin in John chapter 3. If you have your Bibles or your app, however you want to get there, we're going to look, first of all, starting at the most famous scripture verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But let's go on and read the verses after that, beginning of verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. You know, a lot of times we read John 3:16 and sometimes John 3:17, but we don't go on and read the context. And the context is this, that God so loved the world that he sent the light, Jesus, into it. And so what does that tell us about the world? That the world is in darkness. They don't know what light is until Jesus comes in to their lives and into their surroundings. And so for us as believers, we need to understand that Jesus equals light. that light equals Jesus in our lives. And so really, when you're walking in the light, you're walking in Jesus. Well, what does that mean? We need to look at the context here. As we look here, first of all, he comes in verse 17, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, they might be saved. This is a very important word. That word saved is sozo. That means to be made complete and whole in every single way that you can imagine. And so we know that we're going to be complete in heaven. How many people believe you're going to be complete in heaven? But here's the thing. God wants to bring a completeness and a wholeness to you right here and now. I believe that with every fiber of my being. And so for us as believers, we need to realize that that light we need to let in now to push out the darkness that's in our lives. You see, so many of us are managing the darkness instead of just coming into the light. And I really want to help you with this. This is so, so important. I see people stumbling around in the darkness as believers. You know, I get it when the world stumbles. I get that. But for us as Christians who have the light of Jesus available to us, we're still stumbling. We're still, you know, missing it and making mistakes. We're like we're blind in the realm of the Spirit. And God has sent His Holy Spirit to be a light to us. Now let me ask you this question before I even go on. Are you letting the light of Jesus guide you in your everyday walk of life? That's a really important question. Because a lot of times we think, well, I'm a Christian. Well, of course God's going to guide me. No, you have to ask the guide to guide you. You know, I've heard it often said concerning the Holy Spirit that He's a perfect gentleman. And the idea is you have to invite Him into your circumstances. Invite Him into what you're doing and say, Lord, I need Your help today. Will You illuminate? Will You show me what I need to do? And then He will, because He's that kind of God. He loves you. We just read that, John 3:16. He loves you. But there's another word that's mentioned over and over and over again, and it's either condemn or condemnation. Now, what do you think of when you think of the word condemn or condemnation? I know what I think. I think I'm going to be judged. I'm in trouble. I've done something wrong. You know, that's what comes to me right away. So why is the word condemned or condemnation in the same context of Jesus, the light coming into the world, of it coming to save us and to help us? Well, here's what the scripture's clearly trying to tell us, that we have a choice to make, that the whole world is in darkness and they are condemned. Now, again, there's certain groups of Christians that believe that Jesus died on the cross, which everyone should believe, all right? But then they take it a step further that because Jesus died on the cross, that every single person is saved. That no one is going to hell. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or haven't done. But that is not true. If you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are condemned. You are judged already. And so God, in sending His Son, brought us to a place where now we can make a decision. You can either stay condemned, or you can come into the light of the Lord and be saved and no longer be under judgment. A lot of people believe that Christianity is a very narrow kind of way of thinking. I like to think of it being simple. It's simple, right? There's only one way unto the Father. That's through the Son, through the light of Jesus. And so that is the truth for us as true biblical believers. And so as we go on, though, here's really where I wanted to get to. If you look down at verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men, or mankind, love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So when we go back, and let's just go back to John 3:16 for a moment. It says what? For God so loved the world. And that word love there is the word agape. It's the highest form, the purest form of love in the Bible. There's actually three different words used for love in the Bible. But love being that unconditional, no strings attached kind of love. And in fact, 99% of the time, it's used of God loving us. And in fact, it's rarely used concerning mankind loving God. That usually it's another word, filio, which means a brotherly kind of love. There's some strings attached. In other words, if we don't get kind of the things we want or think we should get, you know, it could be broken. Whereas agape love is completely unconditional. It's where we get the word, you know, Philadelphia from, you know, the city of brotherly love. But with the crime rate there, I think somehow they forgot what their name of their city meant. But I digress with that. But back to this again, to the verse that I just read. So let me just back up. We've got God loving us in an agape kind of way, completely unconditional. And then we jump down in verse 19. I just read this. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and man or mankind loved darkness rather than light. So, you know, what I do before I present any scripture to you, I research every single word in the original language. And most of the time, it means exactly what it says. You know, there's no, you know, hidden meanings or anything. But at times, when you look at the original, it unfolds something. Now, what I was shocked to see, I use that word, the word here about men or mankind loving the darkness, that word love is agape. It's actually the same word used a few verses above concerning God loving us. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh my gosh, those people love the darkness unconditionally to such a point that they worship the darkness. And that's why the emphasis of using that word agape, they've sold their souls to the darkness. And that's why they're unwilling to come into the light. So I ask you this today, and I asked the earlier service as well. I don't want you to respond, I'm just asking this. Are there areas in your life of darkness that you love as much or more than Jesus, and that's why it's still there? Just a thought. Because if you love Jesus the same as he loves you, and you see how much he's really done for you, you're going to go running into the light so that the darkness can be dispelled. But if you are still in deception, and that's, I'm going to use that word, of believing that the darkness somehow is beneficial to you, somehow it's better than the light that Jesus has for you, then you're going to continue to love that more than God himself. We need to make a choice as individuals, even as a church, that if there's any darkness whatsoever, that we need to say it needs to go. But I'm here to tell you that we shouldn't focus on the darkness, because we've been doing that. If you get what I'm saying, we've been trying to get rid of it by focusing on it and dealing with it, and it isn't going away. What we need to do is focus more on the light, because it's the light and the life of Jesus that dispels the darkness. So what do I mean by this? Well, there's a scripture that explains what I mean by this. If you have your Bibles, if you go to Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking here again in Luke 11, beginning at verse 33. He says this, "No one, when he is lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand. And those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. The whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." You know, as I look at this scripture, you know, it's a bit obscure. It's he's using terminology and phrases that can be a bit confusing. But first of all, let's understand the context of this scripture. He was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, the people who were religious, the people who thought they knew what light was, that they were enlightened. That's what they thought. And so he comes along with this little parable, this illustration, to show them what real light is about. So here's what he starts with. He talks about lighting a lamp and putting it where? On a lampstand, putting it up in the air so it can be a light. He's really talking about himself. He's talking about the fact that he is the light of the world and that we need to follow him. And then he goes on, he talks about the eye of the lamp. He talks about your eye being good, your eye being bad. What is all that about? And so as we begin to look at it, what he's really talking about is, what are you looking at? In other words, are you allowing the light of Jesus, the good things of God, to come into your purview? Are you letting it be a part of who you are? And he's saying, if you do that, then the light will come in and be a part of every part of your life. But if you allow your eye to see bad things, in other words, you're focused on the darkness, you're focused on those things which are not godly, then you're going to be dark on the inside. And then he goes on, because again, he's talking to the Pharisees. He talks about some people think that the light is darkness, darkness, light. In other words, that there's confusion. In fact, let's just look at that verse again. It says this, verse 35, "Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." He's actually referring again to the religious leaders saying, you think you got it figured out. You think you're right, but you're all wrong and you're in darkness. See, one of the most important things for you and I as believers is to understand that there are still some dark areas in our lives. I'm not saying you're unsaved. I'm not talking about it. As believers, I'm talking to you as believers at this moment, that there are still dark corners and crevices here in our lives that affect us. Now, I pray that you're not in some deep, dark, horrible kinds of sin. But listen to me, sin is sin to God. You know, if you've got a bad attitude in some area of your life, that's a dark area in your life. If you still use words that are inappropriate, that's a dark area in your life. If you still have inappropriate thoughts that cross your mind, that's a dark area in your life. You hear where I'm going with this? Now, I'm not here to condemn you, just as Jesus wasn't here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you that the light can help you dispel that and deal with that in your life. That put up there's a video that I took of a, I found it online, it was amazing, of the sun shining through a curtain into a room. Look at this. Now, think about this. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. 93 million miles away. And yet, there's a little crack in the shades here. It's shining into this dark room, and what's it showing? Little microns of dust. Can you imagine that? 93 million miles away. How much more does the light of God reveal the dirt that's in our lives? But not to reveal it to condemn us, but so that we can see it and be set free from it. And so that's what you need to understand as a believer, that God doesn't want to condemn you in those dark areas. You don't want to say, oh man, oh. You do that to yourself. How many people here beat themselves up because of darkness in your life? I dare say that most of us here do, from time to time at least. That guilt and shame is not God putting that on us. That's the guilt and shame that we feel because it's still in our lives. And we know in our heart of hearts that it shouldn't be there. Here's what I'm here to tell you. Stop focusing on that. Focus on the light, because the light is what's going to dispel the darkness in your life. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 11. This is how God does this. See, I'm going to give you, in the final couple of minutes here, I'm going to show you how this works in a practical way. Because that's really what matters, isn't it? Here I am talking about light and darkness. You know, you're like, okay, show me what to do. I'm going to show you what to do right here and right now. Ephesians 5, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now, at first glance, you read this, the idea is that you're exposing the sin in other people's lives, right? You know, the idea is you're saying, oh, that person. Let me tell you something, that many times we do that to others to make us not feel so guilty about the darkness in our own lives. So just to let you know, that is not the context of this scripture. The context of this scripture is talking about us. In other words, on a personal level. And so let me give you this illustration to help you understand where I'm going to go with this. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago that was, but it was a long, long time ago. All right, a long, long time ago. I was in my mom's and dad's bedroom. You know, as a little kid, you're curious about the knickknacks that are around. And there was this box on her countertop. So I grabbed it and I opened it up, and it was a Brownie camera. How many people have heard of a Brownie camera, all right? Just to give you a little background, Kodak started making them in 1901, and just so you know, I didn't have the 1901 model, all right? From 1901 to about 1965 was when they finished the Brownie line. And the first ones were made of cardboard, literally a cardboard box with a little finger thing that you pushed, and it flipped the lens so that it would make light come into the box to expose the light on the film. And again, some of you younger people might be wondering, well, what's film? Well, okay, film was something that was used before digital cameras. And so what would happen is, and you couldn't even see the picture until you took it, you know, to the photo place, and you know, a lot of pharmacies had photo places as part of it. In fact, Sam's Club, I just read the announcement, they're closing down their photo section completely because nobody's hardly using it anymore. So things are changing even now. But back then, we had these rolls of film. Now, I'm 6 years old. Okay, so you got to understand, I'm just curious, right? So what does a curious 6-year-old do? Let me tell you what this curious 6-year-old did. I opened the camera up, saw film in there, pulled it out. Oh, that's interesting. And rolled it back up, let it go in. I saw other little canisters, thought, what's this? Opened them up, grabbed them, pulled them out. Oh, there's, you know, little lines on each side. Well, this is really cool. And there's little gears. And, you know, I just looking at everything and put it all back. Well, I didn't know this, but my mom had set all of that out because she was taking it down to the photo place to get her film developed. So guess what happened when she came home with that film? It was just white, and she was not happy because she knew someone had messed with the film, and I was the guilty guy. In other words, I had exposed that film to light, and as a result of it, everything was gone. There was no images on it. That's exactly the scripture that I read. Let's just read it again. Have no fellowship, this is Ephesians 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You see, you and I have photos in our minds of images and things that we've done and been a part of, and they're there. How do you get rid of it? Do you try to manage it? Do you try to put it in different files or throw it in a trunk with locks on it and put it away? No, because those images just keep coming back. What do you do with them? You expose them. Literally, you bring it to the light. Now, what does that mean in a practical way? Obviously, we're not like film that we can grab out of the canister and show it to the light and make it all disappear. But we can in a spiritual sense. That word expose in the original language means to tell a fault. That's literally what it means. Confession is really what I'm talking about. I'll just ask Brendan, whoever's going to be coming up to play here at the end. Here's what I want you to understand. That if you want to get rid of the darkness in your life, you need to bring it to the light. And how do we do that in a practical way? We need to confess it. Now, that happens in a couple of different ways. But what I'm going to tell you what not to do. Here's what a lot of people do is you know, under their breath, like,
okay, Lord, yeah, I did this, I did that.
You know, and kind of on this inside kind of thing. Listen to me. Confession means out loud so your ears can hear it. Confession means bringing it out to the light. Not some inside kind of thing, half-hearted sort of thing. And so that means you might not be able to do that right here and right now because there's people around you. But you could do it maybe on your drive home. Maybe you could do it, you know, when you're in your secret place, wherever you pray, or maybe on that nature walk that you do during the week. But you need to bring it out. Now, here's another part. The Bible says that we are to confess our faults, to tell our faults one to another. That's what Scripture says. Now, does that mean that I want you to go and tell your deepest, darkest secrets to everybody here at church, after church? I would suggest not doing that, all right? But I will say this, that if you have a spouse or a loved person, a person that's in your life as a believer that you can talk to about anything, you need to tell your fault. Say, look, this is something I have dealt with or I am dealing with, and I just want you to be aware of it so I can be accountable to you for that. You may not have a person like that. Well, we as a church staff, we're here for you. That's one of the great things about a local church. We care about you on a personal level. Just as I talked about those prayer requests, I see almost all the prayer requests that come into the church. They go through kind of my hands and you know, other people are interceding and praying, but I see them. Why? Because I care. And I want to tell you something. I'm not the only one that cares. There are other individuals, my wife and the rest of the staff. We care. We have volunteers that look at those prayers, and they're lifting those needs up all of the time. And so if you need a person to talk to, you can email us at the church. We can connect through Zoom, or you can come in, you know, physically and meet with one of us. And everything that's said will be in confidence. You know, no problem at all. But confession is how you deal with the darkness. That's how it happens. So this song, we're going to go back to No One But You is the song. You'll notice in verse 3, it talks about when we're in darkness, He's the light. And so I encourage you, let's stand together for just a few moments that, if you can. Let's just sing this song. And when the Lord shows you that darkness, make a mental note of it right now. And then make a decision, how am I going to tell that fault? How am I, you know, who am I going to talk to? What am I going to do? Do not procrastinate on this, because you don't want to stumble anymore. You want to walk in the light, the brightness of everything that Jesus has for you. Amen? So let's sing part of that song, and then we'll close.
given to my soul. Who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Who can search the depths of me and love me to the core? Who controls the world I see, walks me through it all. No one but you. No made the righteous bright, who has paved my way with grace, love me through my darkest hours a thousand different ways. No but you. No one but you.
Thank you, Lord. No one but you. You are the brightness in our lives in the darkest hours, in the darkest places, Lord. You want to bring light. I thank you for that. Listen, I want to just ask right here, those watching online, those here, you know, did God show you a dark area in your life? And if so, just put your hand up to the Lord. It's just part of the confession. You're not going to tell me about it. You're going to talk to Him about it and hopefully find someone else to talk to about it as well. Lord, you saw those hands raised here, and I know that people watching raised hands as well. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, as we've raised our hands and just being honest about those dark areas, because we all have them. And in fact, if we say we don't have them, that's pride and that's a dark area. So Lord God, right now in Jesus' name, we lift our hands up in confession to you. For Lord, unless we can be honest with you, how can the light be dispelled? It all begins with being honest with you, to tell a fault to you, to confess to you. So, Lord, I pray right now that as you've revealed those dark areas, that we would just be open to let your light shine in and through us. Lord God, you've called us on this earth to be light bearers to the world. And for that light to be pure in us as we reflect it to the world, if there's darkness mixed in, then it's not the purity of who you really are, but a mixture of light and darkness. And Lord God, it's our hearts to be the purest of light possible, that we would bring honor and glory to you right here and right now on this earth. That when people look at us, they can see clearly you in and through us. Lord, that we would truly be pure light to bring honor and glory to you. And that can only happen when we let you into every part to dispel the darkness, to expose and burn out the darkness. So, Lord, I pray right now for every single person here in this meeting, those watching online, whether right now live or minutes or hours or days or years from now, that, Lord God, that this message be as true as it is at the moment it was spoken. As compared to a year from now, it's the same because it's your word. So, Lord, I thank you that you are the light of life. I thank you, Lord, that not only are you the light of the world, but you illuminate our path before us and guide us and direct us so that we don't have to stumble any longer. So, Lord, I speak a blessing over every person here, every person watching. I pray, Lord, that there'd be an anointing of your Holy Spirit, that there would be literally a fire, a light fire that just gets brighter and brighter on the inside because of your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, that as those little particles are revealed in our lives, those little spots of darkness, that we would just confess to you and you just burn them out and they're gone. And we're free from the guilt and the shame and the condemnation. We're able to walk in the fullness of life and light that you purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. So bless each one, Lord, as they go out as lights for you. I pray, Lord God, that they would be more attentive to you, more sensitive to your voice as you guide us in this dark world. We thank you, we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning. You need prayer for anything? We are here for you. God bless you.